Good evening, true believers. This is James Dossey. I'll be hosting and game mastering tonight, or watching, as the case is, because we are going to be doing a demo podcast tonight of the new Marvel Heroic role-playing game. And I have some really cool guests with me tonight, starting off with the always dynamic Dr. Jason Tondro. How are you doing tonight, Jason?
I'm great, thanks.
It's good to hear your voice again. For anybody who doesn't know, he's going to be watching to make sure that if any of us get our comic continuity wrong, he's going to be there to slap us on the wrist.
No. This is all like, you know, post disassembled. So I'm here to be a fan.
There we go. Also here tonight, Rick Jones, author of the upcoming Vigilance Press product, Six Gun, which is going to be one of our Do Vigilance products. Rick Jones, also not the same Rick Jones from Marvel Comics that you might have heard of. You haven't actually hung out with the Hulk, unfortunately, have you?
No, I haven't.
Or any of the rest of the Marvel Universe. Rick Jones
or
is...
Or Rom, or Captain America, or Captain Marvel, or Captain...
Just figured I'd get that out of the way right up front, so everybody...
Or Rom.
Yes, Rom.
Yeah. Rom.
I remember Rom. I loved those comics.
That's great!
You know, Rom is the reason I started picking up Alpha Flight. It was when Rom crossed over with them that I got interested in that book.
Nice.
So, and then our third party player today is Theron Bretz. Did I say that right?
Theron, yeah.
Theron. All right. Theron is also an author of an Icons product, the... not for us, but for Adamant Entertainment. You did Sins of the Past for Adamant.
That's right.
And you're also an old school comic fan. So, actually, I'm going to ask this of both Rick and Theron. Let me start with Rick, because you guys haven't been on the podcast before with us. How long have you been into gaming and or comic books in general?
Well, I've been gaming since one of the basic D&D box sets, and I've been reading comics as pretty much as long as I can read. I would say I actually started like becoming a hardcore fan in Uncanny X-Men 131, where Kitty Pride and has like been around for an issue, and they've been kidnapped by the Hellfire Club, and it was all downhill from there.
The slippery slope. All right, so it would be safe to say that it's been at least 10 years for you in the gaming as a gamer.
More like 20.
Yeah.
So and you actually have a pretty long pedigree as far as authorship goes too. You've written a lot of books, or written for a lot of books.
Yeah, I've done a lot of stuff for White Wolf in the past, mm-hmm. mostly. For Werewolf, both Forsaken and Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
And plus a couple other little things here. But the upcoming Six Gun is my first Mutants and Masterminds thing.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. Proud to be a part of that. So that's very good.
You've traded up.
Sure. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I like to think so, but it's not I don't know if it's fair for me to say that. So Theron,
yes.
How long have you been gaming?
Since role playing since about 1978.
Okay.
Started with the Holmes Rules D&D.
Mm-hmm.
And wow. Played the heck out of that in high school, and then my freshman year of college discovered Villains and Vigilantes, and thought it was a really neat idea, but I didn't know a lot about comics, so I walked into a comic book store, and I've been hooked ever since.
Cool. So what comics are you guys reading right now?
For me, it's mostly Marvel stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To the mainstream Marvel, very few DC since the New 52 launched, and probably my favorite of the last year has actually been Atomic Robo. It's a great comic.
I hear everyone says that's really good. I haven't read it, but everyone says it's awesome.
It's a blast.
Yeah,
I haven't heard anything negative about it. A lot of positive energy. I'm going to have to check that one out. Rick, what have you been reading?
Well, for the longest time, I've been one of those guys who just waits for the trades and just picks up a trade, a couple of trades a month. But
yeah, me too.
What with all the hoopla, being in living in Houston, and when the Scarlet Spider, the new Spider-Man clone comic, was announced as he was going to be Houston's own superhero, and there was a signing and Q&A with Christopher Yost and Ryan Stegman at a local movie theater,
nice.
Where we got free comics. Well, free, and we paid to get in, but you
sure.
know, they gave us comics. I've started getting a couple of things weekly. Scarlet Spider and Action Comics for me. My wife is reading Astonishing X-Men, and my son is reading Ghostbusters and Jurassic Park.
Oh, fantastic. Which Ghostbusters is it?
It's IDW's Ghostbusters comic. It takes, you know, it takes place after both movies in the video game, and they've even had characters from the cartoon, the Extreme Ghostbusters cartoon, even appear.
Wow!
So it's just all Ghostbusters.
Oh, very cool. I didn't know if it was going to be that very original Ghostbusters with the guy in the ape suit.
Oh no.
So Jason, are you reading any comics lately?
Well, I'm still reading some of the New 52, including Action. And right now I'm working on a paper that I'm writing on a 12-issue miniseries that came out last year called Kill Shakespeare.
Interesting.
In which all of the characters of Shakespeare's plays all live in like this world, like Shakespeare's world, and they're all alive in this world. And then they find Shakespeare dead, and they have to find out who killed him.
It's
this very sort of meta. Anyway, I'm presenting a paper on it. I'm writing an article on it for an academic journal called Image Text, which is published by the University of Florida. So I have to read the book so I can write that paper.
Yeah,
so, that's what I'm doing right now.
What's does anybody here covet your job? I think
yeah. Maybe.
Well, I don't know, when my paychecks come in, you will stop coveting my job.
That may be true.
Yeah,
and just for posterity, not that anyone cares, but I've been. Following a lot of web comics more than anything else lately, and I'm really hooked on the Greg Rucka web comic Lady Saber and the Pirates of the Ineffable Ether. And if you haven't read it, it's really cool. What I like about it is they update once or twice a week.
Yeah.
And with the comic book page that you get, and the artwork is gorgeous, by the way, but you scroll down past that comic book page, and beneath it, you've got the original script written by Greg Rucka, so you can kind of see where the visuals that you just read came from. You know, how much of that was created by the author and how much of that was created by the artist, which I thought is really cool. It's kind of like an ongoing master class in plot and pacing.
Yeah, yeah, that would be really helpful in classrooms to especially because a lot of our students, you know, they're really interested in web comics.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sort of comics that they read. You know, they won't go to a comic store. They won't even buy it on the iPad. But they'll surf to a web comic every couple of days.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think there's a lot of potential for that model of having the published item be more of a gathering point, and then using that to sell like collections and T-shirts and whatnot. So I do know that there are several people out there who are able to make a living at it. So,
well, Order of the Stick is, you know, the...
Yeah, oh, man. What was it, $1 million? He cracked $1 million on that Kickstarter?
Yeah.
Crazy. That's amazing. I'm so happy for him.
Steve Long was writing this column. He wrote on his Facebook, he said, I sat down to write a blog entry about his success with Order of the Stick, and between the time when I started the blog entry and when I finished, he had made $6,000.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you guys haven't read Order of the Stick and you play D&D, then you're doing yourself a disservice. Go start at the beginning and just read it. You will be buying trades in no time. But even if you don't play D&D, if you know, once you get past some of the earlier issues that were really spoofing the rules as much as anything else, the characters are just so much fun and just so crazy. It's a fantastic series.
Oh yeah.
But that's not what people are tuning in for tonight. They are tuning in to hear us play the new Marvel Heroic role-playing game from Margaret Weiss Productions. And I was happy enough to have Cam Banks on the show earlier this week. And as much as I wanted him to be here, unfortunately, Jack Norris is down with a cold. And also on a road trip. So he was just completely unable to join us tonight. So, we will be kind of flying without him, and I am going to do my best to show off some of the aspects of the rules. Now, one thing I will not be touching on tonight, and it's not because it's not a good thing about the rules, it's just because I'm trying to focus on other mechanics tonight. I will not be focusing on experience points or milestones, which are how you get experience points. I'll touch on them now, but during actual gameplay, when you're playing the game, each character usually has two milestones, and those are broken up into three basic conditions for each one. And those conditions are when you meet those conditions, you get an experience point or more. You'll either get 1, 3, or 10 for each one of these conditions you hit. And those conditions are kind of set by either the ones, you know, the milestones you get with the character. Like if you were looking at Luke Cage's character sheet, you might see that he has the settle the score milestone. And the first condition listed there is when you declare a villain as an old foe. So, you know, Luke Cage can point out a villain and go, I remember fighting you or something to that extent. And bing, you would get an experience point. And you actually get that XP every time you do it. It's not like just a one-time thing. And then, of course, settling the score gets kind of more violent as you go. As the three XP condition is when you inflict trauma on your chosen foe. And trauma is beyond stress. That's like serious physical injury.
Yeah.
And then the 10 XP level is when you either forgive your chosen foe or they beg your forgiveness. So Luke Cage is definitely the Shaft of the Marvel Comics universe.
Yeah, right.
But and when you're playing the game, the players are looking for opportunities to grab those XP, because you would use XP during gameplay in ways that most games don't let you do. You can either use them, I mean, you can convert them directly to plot points if you want to, but that's the least useful way to do it. You can spend those points to either upgrade or to shift qualities around. You can use them to buy flaws off of your powers sets. You could use them to rearrange your affiliations. Each character has ratings for how good they are as a solo person or with a buddy or with a team. And, you know, as you play through the game, you may decide that you're becoming a better team player. So you can spend some experience points and switch those die qualities around and increase your team at the expense of not being as good a solo character anymore. But we're not going to worry too much about milestones, because tonight we've got four guys who've never actually played this game before.
Yeah.
And we want to focus on making sure that we get what we're doing right, and actually teach the audience about what we're doing as we go too. So I'm gonna go slowly the first few like assembling dice pools and things, and give the audience an understanding of what we're doing. And I'm also gonna focus on creating resources, and also we're going to focus on the Doom Pool, which is one of the coolest and most unique features, I think, about this game. So I'm really going to do my best to make that Doom Pool come to life for you guys and inflict it upon my players here. But one of the questions that's been asked several times on the forums is, can you start a game on a transition scene? And that's exactly what we're going to do tonight. what we're going to do here is we have, let me introduce the players and the characters that they're playing. We've talked to everybody at least once, but Rick Jones, you are playing Spider-Man, correct? Is Rick Jones still on?
Can you hear me now?
Oh, there you are.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. So, Rick Jones, you are playing Spider-Man, yes?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Let's see. Iron Man is being played by Dr. Jason Tondreau.
I can do whatever an iron can.
Yes. And the reason that I was using Luke Cage is because I have his character sheet in front of me, because Theron is going to be playing Luke.
Sweet Christmas.
And for anybody who actually comes from New York or, you know, is more familiar with how Shaft would sound, we apologize.
He was actually created specifically to be Marvel's Shaft.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
And you know, I love the fact that he has transitioned so smoothly into a more modern character without actually losing any of the fun aspects of that.
Well, he did. I mean, he had some. Luke Cage had some dark days.
Yes.
In previous issues with previous writers, but thank goodness he's back on his home territory now.
Yep. And he didn't ever go to Africa like Shaft did he?
That was a get out of my memory, James. Thank you so much.
That was a pretty dark day for Shaft. But anyway, so we are going to start on a transition scene, and what a transition scene is generally between action scenes. You have transition scenes, and they are useful for a number of different reasons. One thing they do is they allow players to recover. And another thing they allow you to do is to create resources, which are assets that can be used in later scenes. But tonight I'm starting everybody off with one PowerPoint, except for Spider-Man's getting two because he's starting off with some stress. Spider-Man, you just... let's see. Where's my notes? You just lost a fight. You had to flee a battle with Carnage. Who took you by surprise. You were investigating the disappearance of a bus full of school kids. Oh. And when you're lurking around, you bumped into Carnage, and he dealt you a D6 of stress, so you can decide whether that was mental, emotional, or physical.
Well, because Peter is always blaming himself, I'm going to say he had a D6 of emotional stress because he is just worried that Carnage is going to eat those kids or turn them into little venom spawns or what.
Okay. And your decision was to retreat and grab the rest of the Avengers since you are now part of the team. So you are arriving at the Avengers Tower, which is also Tony Stark's regular hangout. So I'm going to have Luke and Iron Man. What are you guys doing here? I'm going to say that this is probably happening at about like 9 o'clock at night. So it's getting kind of late. Luke, what are you doing here at the Avengers Tower?
Explaining to Jessica why I'm late.
So you're on the phone.
Yes.
I had the Thrilla and Manila playing on TV. and Luke just could not leave, you know, until the game was over.
All right.
That works.
So Iron Man and Luke are watching the game and trying to justify it. It's like, you know, no, Jessica, I wasn't beating on any supervillains. Honest, we're just watching the game.
Yeah.
At which point, Spider-Man drops in. Peter, you can go ahead and... Mr. Parker, you can go ahead and describe your arrival here.
Well, he swings in, and his costume's all torn, and he's cut up a little, and he says, guys, Carnage, school bus full of kids, gotta go save him, come on.
Well, I guess Joe Frazier will have to wait. And I'll click off the Thrilla and Manila and go help you.
All right. Now, Peter's fought Carnage before. I'm going to give you guys kind of a choice here. This is a good opportunity if you wanted to try and come up with a resource. Sure. For dealing with the next scene. You know what you kind of know what you have to do, which is to A, find the kids, and B, tackle Carnage. So if there are any kinds of resources you think these guys might have that you could call upon, you can spend a plot point and do that. And also, this is also an opportunity, if he's not doing anything else, for Parker to try and recover that emotional stress somehow. So I'll let you guys decide what you want to do with that.
Does this thing have any weaknesses? I've never
fire and sonics, I believe.
Oh, well, we can do that. And Tony will walk over to his wall and push a button and open it up to reveal this, you know, super duper computer lab that pops out of nowhere, like all good super computer labs do in Iron Man shots. And I'll start trying to figure out some way that maybe we can whip up some kind of sonic weapon to help us stun the thing.
Okay. And that is actually as simple as you spend a plot point and say, I'm going to use my
tech master.
You have tech master as as one of your specialties. So you very simply just say, I'm going to create a stunt. And that stunt is going to be this. So during a normal game, that would be tech master. That would be,
it's die 10.
D10. So you would actually, since it's a transition scene, you get to step that up to a D12.
Now, I don't make a roll for this. I just spend a plot point and I have it.
Yep, correct. So I'm going to go ahead and
take my own plot point.
Okay, I'm going to sell that off here. And all right, Spider-Man, since Iron Man's taking care of that, did you want to try and rest and recuperate here or try and talk your way out of this emotional stress?
I was also thinking if it was possible, he could have... one of his special effects is he spends a plot point to put a traced complication on a target.
The spider tracers.
So nice. Perhaps I put a spider tracer on him before he knocked me out or whatever.
That's a good plan. Let's do that. That sounds great. So you've actually got a tracer on Carnage, so you can find him, which is handy because if I remember correctly, isn't Carnage somewhat immune to your spider sense?
Venom was. I'm no expert on Carnage, so most of what I personally know, I'm just assuming is the same as Venom.
That is correct. Spider-Man's spider sense does not help him against Carnage. So,
smart move, Pete.
Yep.
Luke is being comforting.
All right.
Yeah, game-wise, I mean, speaking out of character, can Luke help? Can he help Peter recover, like, emotionally? Because he took emotional damage.
We can actually have him roll and try to help him recover. In this case, you would look for any traits that your character has that would be helpful to Peter. And that could include looking at Luke's... you're certainly a good buddy. So while Iron Man's off to the side, you can kind of take him off to the side and give him a pep talk here. And one of your distinctions might kick in there as well. I don't think using your Menace Master would help, though. You're going to scare him straight.
Suck it up, Parker. Nice.
I'm seeing a lot that I can really use in terms of distinctions or specialties here. But definitely the buddy distinction alone. Let's see here.
What do you have to get to make to successfully? Do you have to beat the die size or something? What do you have to get?
Yeah, what's my goal here?
Let's see. I'm trying to remember if he actually rolls it or if it's just you're helping him out. I think, let's see. I'm going to oppose it with the Doom Pool and...
Oh, okay.
then
so you have to beat the Doom Pool then.
Yeah, plus your D6 of stress. So I'm going to actually, you know what, go ahead, Luke, and basically what you're going to do is roll an assist, and I'm going to oppose that with the Doom Pool without, and basically if you manage to get a die of, if you manage to beat my action number, then you're going to be able to add a die to Peter's roll when he's trying to recover.
Okay.
So you can add one of your dice to that. So go ahead and put together your, I'd say your buddy, one of your distinctions, and let's see. Actually, that's only two. So the minimum, if you did that, you'd be able to get a maximum of a D4 to him if you succeed. But because it's only two dice, I'm trying to think. Was there a third dice?
Yeah, I'm not seeing it for Luke. He's not exactly okay. Therapist.
You always get a, you know, if you're only rolling two dice, you always get a D4 for your result at minimum. So even if you don't have a third die, so go ahead and roll those two and see what you get. And
okay, so it's the D10 for Buddy plus what else are we seeing here?
D10 for Buddy, and then one of your distinctions. You can pick one of those for a D8. Okay.
I think I can use Street Smart for this.
There you go.
There we go. Okay. And oops. Ignore the second one. I hit the button again. So a 3 and a 3. So 6.
Okay, for some reason it's not showing mine. So I rolled so you rolled a 3 and a 3, so that's a 6. I rolled a 1, 3, and a 1, so I rolled two opportunities. If we were in an action scene, or if you guys had a good reason to do so, you could spend a plot point to exploit either one of those. Probably not necessary for you right now, but yeah. My total is a 4, your total is a 6, so you actually succeed. And
tough love.
And then Peter gets to add a D4 to his recovery check there.
Okay, so for my recovery, looks like I roll Buddy D10.
Mm-hmm.
And with great power comes great responsibility distinction. I'll take that as a D8.
Uh-huh.
And I guess, can I use my own specialties? Like,
yes.
Psych?
So you okay, can, you so can, I'll you throw can try my and talk psych. It through. Talk it through.
Yeah. There.
And then you get to add that D4 that he just gave you.
D4. Okay, that's weird. It didn't go through, but
I'm probably disconnected. So you can just read off what
yeah,
you said.
I got a 9 on the D10. 5 and 3 on the D8s, and a 4 on the D4.
Now you need to beat the die 6.
Basically, before I roll, you're gonna try and decide what your total is, and then what the number is gonna be. You wanna make at least the D6. Now, if you put a lower die code against it, then you just reduce it. You step it down. If you put a higher die, like a D8, against it, then it goes away completely.
And so,
I could put I will put the 9 and 3 from the D10 and the D8, mm-hmm. and have my effect die be the other D8.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So a 9 and a 3. So you got a total of 12 is your total.
Yes.
Okay. So now I get to roll, and I'm going to try this wonderful website thing again and see if that posts it. There we go. I get a total of 5 and an effect total of 6, which or effect die of 6, which isn't even counted because you won. So you beat me, and you get to compare that D8 to the D6 and knock it out. So you have recovered from your stress.
Oof.
Glad to help.
Now it's worth
thanks for the pep talk.
You actually must have come into the room with a D8, because at the beginning of a transition, you can step all your stress back automatically, can't you?
That is correct. That is correct.
So you actually got a D8 from Carnage, which stepped back to a D6, which then you just recovered with Luke's help.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
The GM retroactively agrees with you.
I feel better.
Yeah, so you guys have a chance here to make any other decisions you want to do or until before heading off. But you've got a couple of tools. You now have two resources you can use to tackle this situation. You've got the spider tracer, and you've got Iron Man's sonic cannon. Now, it's a D12 asset. Did you want to have this as like something? I'm guessing you want it something handheld that you can like pass around between you, or is this something that's attached to your armor?
This is a weapon designed for non-lethal mob riot control in Afghanistan. that Tony made this for the U.S. Army and SHIELD, but it's purely experimental. And they haven't yet agreed to pay the exorbitant amount of money I'm charging for it. So I have it. But no, this is – I think maybe Peter might be able to use it because he's scientifically capable. But this requires a lot of targeting and fiddly bits on the outside of it. So no, I don't think this is something just anybody can use. This is like a – you know, this is – you have to be an expert to use this stuff kind of weapon.
And if you play with your what's it?
Yeah.
<I'll get> it.
but it's this big sort of, you know, it must be something that I can collapse down though, if it can. So it's a die 12, but it's not very big or bulky. It's probably sort of like about the size of a sawed off shotgun.
Okay.
With a big like expandable sort of cone shaped thing on the end. You know, that looks like one of those microphone things that you aim at, you know, across the street. So he's got, yeah, with like a receptor dish on the end. Anyway, but then we're ready to go. So he just sort of holds it up and pushes a button and it like collapses in on itself and shrinks down to tube size. And then he can just holster it in one of the pods on the belt of his armor.
All right.
Nice.
Yeah.
So how do you guys want to transition from this scene to the scene? Are you guys going to take the Quinjet, or are you going to... That's probably the easiest way to get Luke Cage there. But, you know, I don't think he's in the... I don't think he likes to get... What was the term that Spider-Man used? Armpitted? By the flyers?
It's not comfortable. You flying guys really need to get, like, some handles or something.
We don't have any time to waste. I mean, there's a busload of kids at stake here, so whatever's fastest.
All right. So you guys, we kind of spin the camera around and pull back and change scenes here. We've got our two new assets that we're going to use, and and the camera pans back into a dark street and a couple of police cars roving around. You see a lot of cops like knocking on doors and talking to people trying to find out what they've seen. And all of a sudden they all look up as a rush of air comes down and you see an Avengers Quinjet plant itself square in the middle of the street. And Spider-Man and company disembark. Spider-Man's got his spider sense homing in on the tracer, and of course, as it would be, you can sense that it's somewhere below the streets.
Oh boy, sewers again!
Why don't any of your villains live in penthouse apartments?
I don't know.
You're
That's a good question. It's mostly they go for the abandoned warehouse or sewers. Yeah. I gotta get a better class of villain.
Alright, well, I'll pick up a manhole cover and gesture and say to Luke, ladies first.
Funny, man. Funny. Damn, sewers could be home with Jessica.
All right.
You know, Iron Man, his wife could kick your butt. Just saying.
I think I like her even more now.
All right.
I don't know what to say to that, so I will jump in the
pot. Okay.
The sewer.
You guys are sneaking through the sewer, or are you guys just kind of just boldly...
I'm in a giant metal suit. I don't think I can see. Probably using a light beam out of a big spotlight's coming out of the unibeam, I think.
Okay. You are proceeding into the sewers and following this, and you guys actually transition from the sewers into some of the water channels, which are used to guide runoff, and there's also a lot of electrical piping and gas lines and stuff. And then a section off to the side opens up, and you see that someone has been modifying the brickwork around here, because that there's a lot of fresh gouges in the wall. It's been dug out and opened up, and it looks like it leads into a couple of narrow dry corridors.
I'm a walking target here, guys, so why don't I be a distraction, and the two of you can separate from me, and you can ambush Carnage while he's ambushing me. Just don't be late.
Sounds like okay. A plan.
Yeah, I bet that you can probably tune your helmet to the frequency that the spider tracer is on. So.
All right. I'll search for that frequency.
Parker can actually tell you the frequency.
Yeah.
And because he knows it. After doing so, you're able to tune in and start tracing it. You're walking down. I'm going to say, is there a die code for that tracer, or is it? Let's see.
Well, it's a
traced complication for a target. So okay.
So it's got to be like a D6, yeah.
Yeah. So and since you did it in a transition, I'm going to bump it up to a D8. All right.
Cool.
Iron Man, you are basically searching for Carnage. I'm gonna have you roll to see if you can find him. He's a very sneaky
right,
sort of guy.
Now, I'm off by myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll use my solo for that, and I'll use my my cutting edge tech distinction, and then I have cybernetic senses from powered armor.
Mm-hmm.
Die 6. So that's what I'm rolling.
And then you can also add that D8 for the tracer.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, I'm just trying to kind of be the bait here. I'm really more like the distraction than the real.
Right. You need to find him in order to spring the trap.
Okay. So let's see. I've got a die 10, two die 8s, and a die 6.
Okay. Are you rolling it on the website, or are you rolling it by hand? Okay.
No, I'll roll it here. Wait a minute. You know what? I will. I'm going to use my cutting edge tech as a die 4.
And you're going to get a plot point?
Plot point out of it.
All right.
Because I have none.
For those listening, you can use your distinctions either as an asset or you can use it as a flaw. So it's in this case, Iron Man might just be, really cocky and kind of letting his guard down.
Yeah.
So by getting a plot point here, he's a die 4 is kind of an open invitation for something to go wrong, because it's, it's a very high chance of an opportunity appearing for the watcher.
Did you see my die roll?
I was too busy talking.
It didn't show up.
Actually, no. It looks like it didn't. So go ahead and just tell me what it rolled.
No, I rolled really poorly, which is perfect.
Okay.
I got my total, adding two of my dice together, would be 6.
Uh-huh.
And I have the other dice are both 1s. So my total is 6, and my effect die is a die 4.
Okay. So your total is a 6. All right.
And I rolled 2 complications, so if you wanted to use those.
And I'm actually going to use that. Yep. What's going to happen is when he rolled an opportunity, is what they're called, he rolled two ones. For each one, for each plot point I spend, I can put a die into my doom pool. For free, I can upgrade that die to a next higher one up. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to spend 1 plot point, which I give to Tony here.
Oh, yeah.
So you get a plot point. So you get 2 plot points here.
Are you going to use both of them? You're going to use both of the complications?
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to use them both, but you only get 1 plot point because I'm going to take that D6 that one of them was, and I'm going to step it up to a D8.
Yep.
So now I have 2D6 and 1D8 in my Doom Pool.
Yep.
So the Doom Pool starts growing already.
Well, I'm wandering down the sewer tunnel thinking I've got this covered. I mean, what's he going to do? Claw my armor?
He's like a Spider-Man villain.
Next, I'll be attacked by the rhino.
It's not like it's the Mandarin or anything, right? So anyway, Carnage actually has a D10 for solo, because that's kind of what he is. And he has Sneaky as a distinction, so he's going to use that with a D8. And he's also, let's see here, he's got the symbiote power set, which has a whole bunch of powers in here, and I am going to say that he, in this case, is going to be using his wall crawling for a D6, and that'll add to his roll. And I'm going to roll these by hand because this website doesn't seem to be playing. And he's going to use his covert expert here. So I've got these dice. Now, I can actually grab a die from the Doom Pool, and I am actually going to do that. I'm going to grab this D8 that I just earned out of the Doom Pool and add it to his dice pool. And if I do this, I can actually spend a plot point and put it back in the Doom Pool later. Or if I just if I don't spend a plot point, and I give a plot point to Iron Man, then that D8 would then be spent and go away. Either way, it's considered spending it, so that might come in handy or become important later when you're trying to determine when you're spending a die and when you're just rolling the Doom Pool. In this case, I'm spending a die from the Doom Pool, so I'm rolling and I get 1 opportunity for you guys. So if anybody wants to spend a plot point to activate that opportunity, you can. And I rolled really, really well on the other dice. I'm actually, I'm going to pull these. I've got a 7 and a 6 on 2 of the die 8s. And then I'm going to use the last die 8 for my action. So he actually still manages to sneak up on you, despite the fact that you actually know you're getting closer. And then you look up and Carnage is right above you. And launches himself at you, screeching.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, why can't you people just let me play? And he lunges out at you, and I'm going to say that he's going to use that D8 to basically.
Am I resisting with something?
No, you already resisted. So I basically say that was just his successful sneaking up on you. And I'm going to actually give you a plot point and put that D8 back in the pool. So you actually have 3 plot points now.
Okay, and I'm going to spend one of those. I'm going to spend my plot point and for the opportunity.
Uh-huh.
And say that I guess we get a D6 of good position on him. So
okay. So you and Luke Cage and Spider-Man are going to have a D6 stunt for the next round, which will last for 1 action.
Cool.
All right. Cool. So you guys have it. So basically, I'm going to say that Cletus Cassidy, aka Carnage, just jumped down on top of Iron Man and is like biting on his armor. He hasn't done any damage yet, but he's definitely got Iron Man taken by surprise.
Get this thing off!
Okay. Now it's now we're going to go into like official action scene rounds here. Now in this case, normally we'd kind of... Actually, you know what? I'm thinking that Iron Man actually acted first, but since what Carnage did was kind of an action too, I'm going to start the whole thing from scratch here. This is going to be our initiative round. I'm going to say that Spider-Man is going to be going first because he's got the reflexes, and you know, then if Spider-Man wants to like team up with Luke, you can pass because when a player acts, he then chooses who's going to act next. You can choose me, you know, and make Carnage go, but Carnage is already gone, so it would then pass to Luke anyway.
Okay, so we're actually Carnage and I have already gone.
Yeah, okay. We'll say that, and then it's basically Luke and Spider-Man's turn. I'm going to say Spider-Man goes next. And in this case, you guys may choose to act together, or you can act separately. You guys have a one-shot use D8 for stunts.
D6,
sorry, for being able to get good position on him.
Well, why don't we attack together?
Okay.
And I will... We'll do that assisting thing. So I'm going to, like, do my action to set up Luke, because Luke is one tough dude, and he can put his fist through Carnage.
Yeah.
Works for me.
So I will start off with my D10 for a buddy, and I will toss in a D4 for a friendly neighborhood hero. So I can get a plot point out of that.
Okay.
And I will toss in a D10 for superhuman reflexes. And acrobatic master.
Yeah.
And I think that's it.
Okay, ignore
no, I can use I can use web slinging too for free. So I will say I'm swinging at him, so I'll grab a D8 out of the swing line.
Okay.
And I think that's it. So I roll. I got 1-1 on a D10.
Okay.
And I got, let's see, I'm going to hand, I'm going to get a 13 for my effect and a D8
for the effect die. So 13 for your total, die. And then a
yes.
D8 for the effect die. And in this case, you are rolling against you're rolling against Carnage, but you're trying to actually create a die that you're going to hand off to Luke, right?
Right. I'm gonna, I guess, create a asset for him.
Right. So are you trying to use like your webbing to create an asset? What was the description of what you're trying to do?
The webbing, I was trying to like swing in and kind of do a feint.
Mm-hmm.
So the asset would be
throwing him off balance, yeah.
Throwing him off balance.
Okay.
And Luke
okay.
steps out of the shadows.
All right, so your total is a 13 and a D8, so I'm going to roll a reaction now. And in this case, I look to see what I think is appropriate for Carnage. And again, his D10 for solo pops up.
Yep.
And then his, I'm going to say in this case, he's insane. So he's perhaps a little harder to... throw off balance, so I'm going to use insane as a distinction here. And
insane
then,
and in sewers. That's what I get.
That's the story of my life.
It's not Carnage. It's vermin or the lizard or any one of a million other.
He's going to use his superhuman reflexes to try and dodge it, and then his combat expert. He's used to people trying to get the drop on him. So there's another D8 there. So he's going to be rolling. Ooh, really? It looks like 2d8 and 2d10. And I'm going to roll those against you. Let's see here. Rolling dice on the table, actually. All right, in this case, now you said you had a 13 total?
Yes.
Okay. He's got 10 on the dice. So in this case, you win the contest of the totals there. So you're going to get to add, what was it, a D8 or a D6?
Yes, a D8.
So you get to pass that D8 over
to Luke.
To Luke, who is now going to do his thing.
All right. Let me dig out another D8.
For those of you playing along at home, this is a game that uses a lot of dice.
They're not actually all the same, unlike Champions.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's all these funny shaped dice. One of the things that kind of was fun for me as a playtester when I first got the chance to play this game, it was the first time in a long time I'd actually shopped for polyhedral dice. So I had to go and order a bunch of matching spiffy colored dice from online. I think I went to Chessex.
Nice.
But
okay.
All right. So Luke
is going to step out of the shadows here, and I'm just going to try and nail this guy. So I've got the D10 for Buddy.
Uh-huh.
D8 for Come Get Some. D10 for Superhuman Strength. D8 for combat expert, and then I've got the extra D6 from the previous asset and the D8 that Spider-Man just gave me.
Yeah. Yep. I think because you're actually working and you're assisting two other guys here, I think we really should be going with the team.
Okay.
With the team guy here.
I figured I was on my own, but because they were specifically trying to attack together, I thought that was the point.
Well, that's true. That's true. We'll call it a buddy for the first round, yeah, and then after that it'll be team.
Totally.
Fair enough. Okay, so I am rolling I'm rolling real dice. And let's see here. I have a 1 on a D10 and a 1 on a D8.
Okay, so those two 1s get slid off to the side. You can't use those for anything. But I can, and I'm going to. I'm going to spend... I'm going to spend a pull... Actually, I'm going to give you 2 plot points. So Luke is going to get 2 plot points.
All right.
And what I'm going to do with those... So Luke's up to 3... I'm actually going to I'm gonna add a D6 to my Doom pool, and then I'm gonna step up that D8 to a D10.
Okay.
So
my total is a 12, and my effect die is a D10.
Nice.
All right. Nice. All right. Your total's a 12. Now you have some plot points there. If you wanted to. Like spend a plot point, you could actually add another roll into your total if you wanted to.
That's probably a good idea.
Another roll of what?
Not another roll, but another die. So from that roll, how many dice did you have that you haven't used yet?
Oh,
I still have one I haven't. So okay. I'll spend the plot point and add 4 to that. So that raises me up to a 16.
Yeah,
so
that's
got a 16, and then what's your effect die?
A D10.
Okay, so 16 and a 10.
Nice.
All right, and in that case, I'm rolling against that with Cletus's, let's see, solo of 10.
Now, what's going to happen if Carnage wins? Will he do damage to Power Man?
He can. He can. Yeah. Or he could use it to create a stunt of some kind as well.
Yeah, okay, cool.
So if
it's not just a defensive role, he can do something with it.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a give and take, and there's combat expert of 8. So let me make sure I've got this right. So he's using his superhuman reflexes and his combat expert, and he's crazy, and his solo. So he's got 2d10 and 2d8. And I'm going to add to this a D10 from the Doom Pool.
Yeah.
And I'm going to roll on a larger table surface this time. All right, I rolled one opportunity for you guys.
Plenty of plot points if somebody else wants it.
Now, what's your total of 16?
Yes.
16. I tied with that. And I need to double check, make sure I
think. The attacker wins on a tie.
Attacker wins on a tie. That's right.
It's like Canadian armor class.
That's right. That's right. So that means that in this case, you win, and you get to do D10 stress. I'm assuming you're talking physical stress, because this is a very physical guy.
Oh, yeah.
Does the acting player pick the kind of stress, or does Carnage pick the kind of stress?
The narrative kind of elements pick the usually determine the stress. However, in a situation where a character wants to spend a plot point, or I could give up a Doom Pool die, I could shift that stress to a different track.
Okay, question. Because yes, I've got an opportunity in there. If I spend a plot point, could we rule that I've pulled him free from Tony?
I don't see why not. That sounds like a good plan.
I'll spend it. That takes me back down to one.
I heart you.
Carnage is down to one. What's jigger of yours?
So Carnage is now got a D10 stress from physical, and mental and emotional down here, and I'm jotting this down on just a plain old-fashioned piece of notebook paper here. And for those of you listening at home, everything damage-wise and effect-wise is rated in dice, the same dice that we use, which is D4 through D12. Once you go over D12 on a stress track, and they go up by die codes, not by values, so I'm actually writing down D10. If he gets damaged again and it bumps up to a D12 and then over a D12, he is considered stressed out. And when you're stressed out, you essentially can't fight anymore for whatever reason. And you kind of have to figure out what the narrative reason is. Why he's, it could be just knocked unconscious if it's physical stress, or he just may be bludgeoned to the point where he's crawling away and he's a whimpering wreck. If it's emotional or mental stress, you come up with some options there that make sense for it. Like if you made the Hulk really sad, you could get him to stop fighting.
and it could be, a villain can flee as an example of being stressed.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. Or they can also flee to avoid getting any more stress.
Yes, right. So Luke went last, so he picks who goes first next turn.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
So,
and as I said, Tony, get that whatchamajig if yours working.
Oh, right, that. Tony pulls this shotgun thing out of the holster in his armor and pushes the button, whereupon nothing happens. So he smacks it with the palm of his hand, and it extends. And then I will attack. I will shoot him with my sonic blaster.
Okay. Tony, do you have any special reflexes? Or
special reflex?
Like powers?
I do, actually. My armor enhances my reflexes with a die 8.
Die 8. That means for me to interrupt you, I would have to spend a die 8 or higher for my Doom Pool. And, I forgot to give Luke a point because I'm putting that D10 back into my Doom Pool.
Yep.
Okay.
But I'm actually going to spend the D10 out of my Doom Pool, and that goes away now. And I'm going to interrupt you and have Carnage go first.
Okay.
And Carnage basically hisses and bolts through the big hole in the wall that you... actually, bolts down the corridor and turns a corner. No more of your toys! And he runs for it.
Can we try and catch him, or do we resist? Or
can run and catch up to him, he's basically just trying to get out of the way. So in this case, let me see here. He's going to try and – actually, you know what? As he runs away, he's going to try and pull down part of the ceiling to create a barricade between you. So he is going to act and try to create a obstacle, and in doing so, he's going to try and go against you in the sense that he's trying to pull something down between you two. So basically, what you would want to do is build a set of dice. This is a reaction, so it's not going to use up your stunt or anything, but you're going to want to...
But is it my action for the turn?
No, it's not. He's just going before you.
Okay.
So this is a reaction, not an action.
Okay.
So you'll want to build your dice pool out of abilities that you think would help you intercept him and catch up to him.
Well, I'm definitely T now.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely T. So then,
so just start with your affiliations there, and I'm gonna go ahead and roll his first, sure, so that you know, sure, what the numbers are. But he's gonna go with his solo die. He's gonna go with his sneaky die 8, because he's you know, sly bastard for doing this, and he's gonna use his superhuman strength to pull down the ceiling, and a covert expert. Guys listening at home will find that he usually comes up with the same die combinations as 2d8 and 2d10. And he is not getting a Doompool die this time around. But, let's see. He does roll pretty well. No opportunities in this one. He's got a 14 total. And then a d8 for his effect.
Did you say he was pulling down the wall?
Yeah, he's basically pulling down a chunk of the ceiling to try and collapse the ceiling between you two so he can get away.
Well, I'm going to fly through it.
Okay.
And ignore his rubble. Okay. So I'm going to use my team die 8, and then, because I am hard-headed, my hard-headed futurist, I am too stubborn to let him get away from me.
Yep.
So then, for my powered armor, I'm going to use my durability die 10, because I'm just flying through the rubble.
Fantastic.
And then my supersonic flight of die 10.
Okay, are they both, they're in different power sets?
They are, yep, I have two different power sets. I have powered armor for the durability, and weapons platform gives me the flight.
Nice.
So I'm rolling 2 die 10 and 2 die 8. I have one opportunity, and then my total is 17 with a die 8 effect die.
So you have a total of 17, and yeah, my total is a 14. 15, so you
yeah, 17.
Okay, your total is a 17, which beats mine. So your die 8. You could actually use that to create a stunt if you want to.
Like a Tony-shaped hole in the
yeah, for the other guys to come through.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can spend a plot point and create that, I think.
Okay. I have plenty of plot points, so I will do that.
Yep.
I'll spend a plot point and I will create an Iron Man-shaped hole in the rubble that just collapsed.
Awesome. I am going to pause the recording here real quick and try and jigger something. I was getting some. Oh no! Now it's gone. Is the feedback still there for you guys?
I'm good.
I'm okay.
I was getting some echo there for a minute. Hopefully that's gone. All right, so Iron Man makes an Iron Man-shaped hole, and now Iron Man gets to act. So
okay, you
get to actually take an action here.
Okay.
You've caught up to this scumbag.
Well, I'm going to try and follow Luke's advice and take advantage of the damage he's already did and see if we can knock this sucker out of the park. So I will start with my die 8 for team.
So cute when Tony talks straight.
Isn't it, though?
You're taking your action now, Jason.
When he flies through the rubble, he uses this. He holds the sonic rifle like you would hold a football. Like he's sort of protecting it with his body so it doesn't get damaged when he flies through the rubble.
Mm-hmm.
And then he smashes through and whips it out, as they say, and and tries to. And in theory, because this is like a mob, a riot control gun, it just fills the entire corridor with sonic waves. So I will roll a die 8 team, a die 8 for hard-headed futurist. No, excuse me, for cutting-edge tech. Die 8 for cutting-edge tech. And then I'll use my enhanced reflexes from my powered armor. And I don't think I have anything from weapons platform that affects this. I'm not using my repulsors. I've got 3 die 8s there, and then I'll add the die 12 that's the sonic gun that we create first place during the transition scene. So I'm rolling 3 die 8s and a die 12.
All right.
And it looks good. So I have 8, 4, and then I'll spend 1 plot point to use my third die and add it to a total of 12. And my effect die is a 12.
Your effect die is a 12. All right. Nice. So that's an effect. I have D12. And what was your total again?
12.
12. So 12 and 12. All right.
Yeah.
Artist so this... some blur on the Photoshop there.
That's right.
All right. So in this case, Carnage has a limit that his fire and sonic vulnerability. When making a reaction against fire-based or sonic-based actions, he takes emotional stress equal to the effect die of the attack, regardless of whether he also takes physical stress.
Oh, wow. Sweet.
So if he's stressed out by emotional stress, he flees immediately. So in this case...
it's a die 12 emotional stress.
That's kind of interesting. So he actually... so he'll take the die 12 emotional stress automatically, and then yep. the... whether or not he takes the physical as well is what we're about to find out.
Well, so it plays into his serial killer motif, because that's what happens to serial killers. They show up, they attack, they fight very briefly, and then they run.
Yep.
And just keep coming back.
Yep. So in this case, his distinction is going to be insanity. He's going to try and use his enhanced durability, which is a D8. Okay. And where's my D8? My D8s have been migrating here. So, and then his combat expert for another D8. So I come up with D8 and actually 3 D8s and 1 D10. And I'm not adding anything from Doom Pool this time. And I roll 2 ones.
Oh, sweet.
And his total is going to be a 10, which is not enough. So you deal the 12 stress to both his physical and emotional.
He already had a 10 physical, so how does that work?
Generally, when you step up to a new... If the die is higher, you just go with the new die. Okay. If it's equal to or less, then you step up the current die. So he's basically...
Oh, so it's the same result?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. So I should have done, if I was smarter then, is I would have just used one of my die 8s as a result and added the 12 into my total.
You could have. Yeah. But in this case, he now has a D12 and in physical and a D12 in emotional.
I see.
So he's maxed out at either one of those. So any stress, emotional or physical, and he's out.
Well, naturally, I pick Peter to finish this off.
Of course.
All right. Well, in that case, because I will, Peter will swing up and say, you know, you're just a copy of, you're a lame copy of a lame 90s villain. and I mock you repeatedly. Okay.
A little
so
meta
that,
there.
Yeah. Let's see. D6 for team. D8 for Wisecracker. I don't really think any of my powers will help, but I am a psych expert for another D8. And that's not really a lot of dice, so I will spend a plot point to add a...
A D6 stunt?
Yeah, just a D6 push die.
Okay, so you're doing...
A push die. Stunt. That's what I've forgotten about, those.
Yeah. So you're basically down to one plot point, I think.
That I had one. That was... Now I just spent it.
Oh, you're down to zero? Okay.
Yeah. Okay, that was pretty horrible. I got a one.
Yay!
And so my total is 7 and a D8 for effect.
All right, so I am going to take advantage of that one, and I'm going to give you a plot point, so you get one plot point. And my option here is either to step up one of these dice or to get another one. And in this case, I've got 3d6 in the Doom Pool still, so I'm going to step one of those up to a d8.
Yeah.
And,
Now, James, can you take dice out of the Doom Pool whenever you want to?
I can use them to spend like you guys would spend plot points.
Okay.
I can also use the Doom Pool to roll against you if there's no specific character that would be resisting an action. For example, if you're trying to rescue somebody who's buried under rubble, I would roll the Doom Pool. But I don't take any dice out of that's not spending dice. That's just rolling the Doom Pool.
Right, right, right. But if you want to just give Carnage more dice, you take them out of the Doom Pool.
Right. If I keep them, if I put them back in the Doom Pool after using them that way, I have to give you a plot point for each die I put back.
Right, right. Got it.
So, good question. So let's see. Right now we've got a 7 for your total and a D8 for effect. And in this case, he is going to be rolling the same thing he rolled before, which is his solo, his insane D8, his durability of D8.
But does durability help? Isn't this like an emotional
and his combat thing? Wait, I'm sorry. What were you doing there, Peter? Were you?
I was mocking him.
Oh, you're doing. Oh, you're doing an emotional attack. So yeah, in this case, durability would not kick in.
And I don't think Combat Master will either. I mean, Peter's roll is really low, but this is the way to fight Carnage.
Right, right. So yeah, in this case, he doesn't actually have a power set that would work. I mean, telepathy probably is not going to work in this case. I mean, I guess I could come up with something, but I'm not going to. But I will borrow that D8 from the Doom Pool. So I have 2D8 and 1D10 to roll here. And I'm going to roll those. And what was your total there, Peter?
7.
7? I keep calling him Peter Parker.
That's okay.
That's what I think of Spider-Man. I think of him as Peter. So you have a total of 7?
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, I rolled pretty well on this one. I've got 2 8s and... I'm actually going to add those together and then use the D8 as an effect die. So he's got a 16 and then an effect die of 8. So he spins around and he says, you know, he just kind of flips you off and he says, "I'm on more T-shirts than you are, punk."
Nobody gets my humor.
I thought it was funny. Now, can he do something as an effect die with that? Can he do, like...
Yeah.
No, I was actually looking at that. When the reaction can just step back the my failure. Or my...
Oh, right, because this is not his turn in the order.
Right. This was just him mocking me.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. If it were something where somebody was trying to create an asset or something, he could sometimes do that.
I see.
But in this case, I am gonna put that D8 back into the Doom Pool, so Peter gets another plot point for that.
Sure. Well, Luke, it is up to you. Peter can either pick Luke to go first, to go next, in which case Carnage will go last. Which means that he'll, of course, pick that Carnage to go first again the following turn.
Ooh, good point.
True. I think I can finish him.
Okay. Well, if you don't, he's going to get 2 actions, and there's no way we're going to be able to stop.
Yeah. Less talking, more hitting.
All right, Spider-Man, who do you pick to go next?
Well, in that case, Luke has made a good case, so I will say he can go next.
All right.
Okay.
And this is an example of how the initiative system in this actually does have a tactical element to it. Jason just made a very good argument for it. The players had a choice to pick one of their team members to keep going or to pick the villain to split up his actions so that he wouldn't get 2 in a row. So that's kind of a neat thing about one of the things I like about this system is that you don't have the same initiative order every round once it's established like certain other games. And it's a lot more fluid.
Yeah.
But there is a tactical element to it. All right, Luke, go ahead.
Okay, I've got a D6 for team, D8 for street smart, D10 for super strength, D8 for combat expert. I'm spending a plot point for a push die.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's looking pretty I have two D8s are both ones.
Okay.
So right now my total is 8 and my effect die is D10.
Total is an 8 and effect die is a D10. All right. And you've got 2 ones. I'm going to spend let's see here. If I spend 1 plot point, Luke Cage gets that. I'm going to add a D6 to the pool. And then okay. I'm actually going to step that D8 that's in there up to a D10.
Ow.
And that gives me 3D6 and 1D10 in the Doom pool. For you listening at home, the dice max out at a D12. We don't use D20s in this game, or D100s for that matter. but the D12, if there's a D12 in the Doom pool and I spend it, everybody, all the players get an experience point. So that's just kind of showing you how important it is when there's a D, and I can actually spend 2 D12s out of the Doom pool to end a scene. So if I get to a point where I want to, the players are kind of against the ropes and I want to end the scene with them losing, I can do that. I can force that hand by spending 2 D12s out of the Doom pool. So it's kind of, there's kind of a barometer there of how bad things are getting by how many and what kind of dice the GM has in his Doom pool, or the Watcher in this case. Luke Cage is total. He got a total of D8, and then his effect die is a D10. And this is a physical attack. Mm-hmm. So again, we have our D10 for solo. He's crazed with fear and rage at this point because he hates that Sonic. So his insanity is still the predominant distinction I'm going to use. And he is actually going to be... you're using strength against him.
I just thought of something. We should be using his stress die.
You can.
We can use either of the die 12s because he's got two of them.
Yeah, if you want to go ahead and roll that and add it into your existing roll, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. What I'd like to do is spend a plot point to add the 10 I just rolled to my 8.
Yeah,
to make an 18. Okay.
And I'll still have a D10 as the effect die.
Okay. Yeah. And the reason that's smart is because all he has to do is do any die code lower than a D12 in order to KO him. All right. So James goes back to counting again his dice. he's going to be using he's fighting back. So he's going to be using his superhuman strength here. And then his durability is an 8. So let's see. And he's a combat expert. So that's another 8. So right now he's got 3d8 and 1d10. And I'm going to add the D10 from the Doom pool.
Ooh.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I'm going to roll these. And no ones. Wow, this is a strange roll. I got 3 7s. So let's see here. Your total was an 18, correct?
Correct.
So I have 2 7s, and that's a 14. I could spend a die from the Doom pool and add another point in, just like you guys with a plot point, in which case he'd have a 21 total. But in this case, I think I'm going to let you claim victory here. I am going to give you a plot point and put that D10 back into the Doom pool. So you'll have 3 plot points. But you have managed to stress out your victim here. I'm sorry, the villain. you managed to... I'll let you describe how you take Carnage out of the fight here.
Okay. Luke sees that Spider-Man's getting nowhere with mocking him, but it did distract him just long enough for me to set up a sweet haymaker and level it on him, knock him back, bounce him off the brick wall, and drop him into the sewer muck.
Actually, I'm going to say you plow him right through that brick wall and into a large room, which looks like it's like the basement of a warehouse here, and Carnage kind of hits the ground like a sack of potatoes. In the center of the room, you see about 16 high school kids, mostly about 15 years old, but anywhere between 15 and 17, but most of them are on the younger end of the spectrum, in a large makeshift cage. And there's two more characters in here. Turning around to face you, you see the one of Spider-Man's classic foes, Electro, and you see Tombstone, the mafia guy, and he's got a bunch of thugs with him.
Okay. Me. I was not expecting that.
All right. Since you went last round, I'm going to let you pick who gets to go next at the start of this round. You're kind of standing here at the opening to this hole, and you see all this in front of you. You see Tombstone snarling as you break through the wall, and Electro spins around and powers up. You can see electricity start to crackle from him. And you see all these kids are kind of seated and on the floor in the center of the room. They don't necessarily seem to be bound or tied up, but they're all kind of huddled in a circle, looking quite scared. And there's a bunch of these gangsters standing around with guns that give them their pistols. They're kind of all turning to face you as well. And I'm going to say that the gangsters are, there are five of them, so we're going to use the group, the mob, basically, rules to represent that team, that group of characters. So area effect attacks would probably be a good choice against them. Of course, you have to be careful, because any opportunities you roll on an area effect can be hazardous to the kids. excuse me. And then, that's the setting, that's the framing of the setting there. Luke Cage's player gets to choose who goes next. On the next turn.
Who has the better reflexes, Spidey or Iron Man?
Mine is superhuman with D10.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I'm going to let Spidey jump in and take care of these D-listers first. figuring that the GM has a harder chance of interrupting. I'm moving that fast.
Yeah, that would be true. If I wanted to move against him, I would actually have to spend that D10 that I've just polished here. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lose my shiny D10. Spider-Man can go first.
Okay. Well, gosh,
Carnage has been taken out of the fight. What are you going to do?
I believe I am going to swing into the room and sock it to Electro.
Okay. How are you attacking him with your? Are you going to like throw
him? I'm going to swing in and give him a boot to the head.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
All right. So that is a D6 for the team, a D8 for the friendly neighborhood hero, a D10 for superhuman strengths, a D8 for the swing line, and a D8 for the combat master. And that's it.
All right.
Ugh. Okay, one of the D8s was an opportunity for you.
Okay, so I got a one there.
So I will get a 12 for the total and a D8 for the effect.
12 for the total and a D8 for the effect. Okay. I am going to spend a plot point. That means you get one.
Okay.
And that I think that brings you up to 3.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to add a D6 to my Doom pool. So I now have 4d6 and 1d10. Yeah, 4 and 1d10. So, yeah, I can count. Really, I'm good at it sometimes. Electro here is kind of taken by surprise, but it's not really like he's... You've been stealthy here. So he is... in this case, he's being taken out. Let's see. I'm going to try and say he's working for Tombstone, so he's in buddy mode. I'm going to use a D6 for his buddy. He heard the remark about being a D-lister, so we're giving him the don't get no respect distinction. And let's see. He doesn't have anything specific for durability under his living capacitor. You're not using an energy attack, so he can't absorb it. He doesn't have any particular combat skills, so that would generally leave him with just those two dice. But once again, the Doom Pool comes to the rescue with a D10 and a D6. And I'm going to roll these dice.
Now, when you take dice out of the Doom Pool, you give... you can use as many of them as you want.
Right.
Oh.
But he has to then chuck them or give us plot.
Right, they're gone. They're gone. Right.
Gotcha. I'm either spending them or I'm going to, you know, spend plot or give you guys plot points to keep them. I rolled one opportunity. And that was on my D10 rats. What was your total again? A 12? All right.
Yes.
I can't get a 12 even if I spent a another die to add another die in here. So, you win. You managed to deal some stress. And since I'm not going to let that be my use of the D10, I'm going to give you another plot point to keep my D10. Put it back in there. But I'm not going to spend 2 to get that D6 back in there, so I'll chuck that.
Okay. What's the matter, Electro? Feeling grounded?
All right, so Spider-Man's got up to 4 plot points, and you did, what was it, a D8. D8 for effect. So that was physical stress. Let me jot that down here. And... Not you! Why does it always have to be you?
Karma!
Electro D8 physical. Alright. Alright, Spider-Man, you got to go, so you get to pick who goes next.
I will pick... The... I'm curious to see how goons work, so I will pick the mob of goons.
All right. The mob of goons quickly looked at Tombstone, and he just snarls and points at you guys, and he says, take him out! What are you waiting for? Squash that bug! And they all charge at... actually, I'm going to say these guys are not armed. I'm just going to use the straight-up the goons from the rules here. So they are actually going to mob... Spider-Man here and try to grab him and just kind of use sheer numbers to pin you down so somebody else can finish you off. And they are going to...
So they're trying to create an asset.
Yeah. So they've got the team dice. They've got 5 team dice and then a D8 for the grab. And where's my D8? There it is. So I roll these. And no ones. Wow. Okay. So they get a total of 10 on their effect and a D8 for the effect. So Spider-Man's going to try and resist that 10.
Okay. Let's see. I got 6 for team, 8 for friendly neighborhood hero, 10 for superhuman reflexes, 10 for acrobatic master, And because I'm feeling flush and there's a lot of these guys, I will toss in another, I will cash in a plot point for another D6 stunt.
Cool.
And, okay, no ones. What was their total again?
Their total is a 10.
Okay. So I will, let's see, I get a 10 for the, no, 11 for the total, and a D10 for the effect.
All right. So you managed to, I guess pop right out of the group here. You can describe it how you want, but.
There's one of those, classic John Romita, a lot of multi images as he's just bouncing around like a speedball, and not getting grabbed.
All right. So these guys are running around trying to grab you, and it's like, hey, he won't stand still. He's a Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what did you think, he was going to sit down and let you grab him?
I've never tried that tactic, but it doesn't seem likely to work.
All right. So that was the mob's chance to go, and then that gives me the onus of picking who goes next. And in this case, I'm actually going to pick Electro to go next, because he wants a stab at Spider-Man, too. in this case, let's see, where's Electro's sheet here?
It's like we're not even here, Tony.
Yeah.
He's, I could, like, be watching the fight.
You probably are.
All right, you're right. Actually, I'm checking my Facebook status.
Yeah. now that Electro is not just working with Tombstone, he's actually working with the mob too. He's going to get the team die, so he gets a D10 to start with, and he's like, he's screaming at Spider-Man. It's like, you will respect me. I will force you to your knees. He's using his "don't get no respect." you will bow down before me, Joel.
Respect your authority.
And he's throwing his not to be sneezed at D12 electrical blast at you.
Yeep.
And can't really. I don't see him stopping to think about technology or science at this point. So we're gonna go with those dice. And then, blah, 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 blah. Let's see here. I think in this case, I'm actually going to add that D10 from the Doom Pool back in, too. So, let's see how this works. He's basically trying to zap you, but good, and see if he can't knock you, if not out of the fight, darn close. Okay. He doesn't roll any ones. I've got a 16 for his total, and a D12 for the effect die.
Yikes! All right. So 6, 8. I'm gonna throw a plot point in and grab another one of my spider powers, so I will have my reflexes and senses, because my spider sense warned me to get out of the way.
Okay.
And acrobatic master, and yeah, I'll just go with that.
Okay.
Glurk. Okay, there is a 1. You get a 1 to do with. And what was his total?
His total is 16.
16. Okay, I'm going to have to spend another plot point to pull in enough dice out of that to get me a... Let's see. I'm going to have to spend two plot points. Or can you spend 2 plot points?
Yeah, 1 plot point for each die you want to bring in.
Okay, I'm going to spend both plot points to kick that up to a 20.
Okay.
Because otherwise I would be one fried spider.
Okay. And, okay, so you are not going to get hit. Let's see.
Are you going to take my D6?
Yeah, D6 is the effect. Is that what you said?
No, I got a 1 on a D6.
Actually, yeah, I am going to take that opportunity, and I'm going to give you, so you go back point, up to 2 points.
No, I'm down 1 now.
And I'm actually going to give you another plot point, so you're up to, 2 now?
I'm at 2 now, yeah.
Okay. So I'm actually going to put that D10 back into the bowl in my Doom Pool, and then I'm going to use that plot point that opportunity you rolled, so that gives me another D6 into the Doom Pool. The Doom Bowl. I'm going to have to write Doom on the side of this little cup I'm using for my dice. All right, so you actually avoided getting hurt there, just barely, by the skin of your, by the spider hairs on your chin there.
Guys, anytime you want to jump in, the water's fine.
All right, so spider, actually Electro went to go, in this case I'm going to turn around and pick Iron Man to go next.
Oh, all right. Now I have a question about mob goons. Okay. Do I have to do like the full amount of stress to each of them? Do they all have a full length damage track?
Nope. The way mob tracks work is they basically, instead of having a stress track, they have a group of team dice, and for each die 8 of stress you do, you knock off one of their dice until all their dice are gone, and then the mob has been subdued.
What if I do less than a die 8? What if I do a die 6?
You want to try and find a way to step that up to a die 8, to basically eliminate their die, or I guess it would just step it down to a D4.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, I do have area attacks. But I'll be honest with you, those mooks are like the last concern we really should have. They're not even armed, and I think we can dodge them or avoid them.
Yeah.
But I've got like single target attacks that are much more dangerous. So if all these bad guys are done trying to pin the tail on the spider, I will...
Well, there's still Tombstone, who is kind of a low, you know, wimpier than Luke, but stronger than the average bear.
Yeah. And Electro may well absorb your energy, so you may want to focus on Tombstone.
I was going to try punching him.
Oh, well. Yeah. He can't absorb those.
He can't absorb that iron fist.
That's true.
All right. Well. Okay.
So you want to try and punch out Electro?
No, well, I'm trying to think. Okay. We haven't done any stress to either of these guys yet, right?
No, you have done D8 stress to Electro. He's taken physical stress.
Oh.
I did give him a boot to the head.
Yes.
Right. Then I will try to finish him off then.
Okay.
So I will, Iron Man will rocket into the room and
through the carnage shaped hole.
Yeah, the carnage shaped hole. and you know what? That's what I'll do. I'll just like aim myself like an iron bullet and trigger the supersonic flight and try and just smash right through Electro and take him up into the air and into the wall on the far side of the room.
No mercy. All right.
Oh. All right. So, well, he almost fried my little friend, my little spider buddy. Okay, so.
I'm not wearing that suit again. I don't care how nice you are.
But it has arms, man. The chicks dig the three arms. All right, I'm going to get a die 18. And since I'm flying directly head first into somebody, I think I get my hard-headed futurist distinction.
Okay.
And then I'll get a die 10 for superhuman strength and another die 10 for supersonic flight. And then I get the die 8 that he's already got on him, right?
Yeah.
The die of stress. So That's what I'm rolling.
Okay.
Two ones, so I suck. And that means that I'm only going to get a total of 11 on Electro. My effect die is a die 10.
Okay. I'm just double-checking something on stress, but I'm trying to remember when you're using stress against somebody, exploiting your own stress, usually opposite terms...
You can keep using that against him, I think. I think that's...
Yeah, I was just checking to see if you had to spend a plot point to do it or not. I don't remember that, but we'll assume no, because we haven't been doing that. But
okay.
I'll make an addendum later if that's the case. I don't think you have to. So what was your totals?
My total was only 11 with an effect die of die 10.
Okay, and no ones, right?
I did get two ones.
Oh, okay, you got two ones.
Yeah, otherwise my total would be a lot higher.
Well, in this case, I'm going to use those ones. You're going to get two plot points. Actually, you're going to get one plot point, and I'm going to... let's see, so Iron Man gets a plot point. You're up to two now.
Yep.
I'm going to put a new D6 into the Doom Pool, and then I'm actually going to step up that D10 to a D12.
Ah.
So I have a D12 and 5D6 in my Doom Pool.
But every time you spend that die 12, we get a plot point. No, we get an XP.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So in this case, it's not too big a deal since we're not counting experience points. But if I did spend that from the Doom Pool, that would everybody would get an experience point automatically. All right. You're trying to hit Electro and paste him a good one, and you've got an 11 total.
Beat my terrifying 11.
Actually, wait, I affected two dice, didn't I? I put a new one in, and then I stepped an old one up, so you get two plot points for that.
Okay.
My mistake. So for each die I affect, I give you a plot point.
Yeah.
So let's see. I am going to be rolling a team die for him, so that's 10. Don't get no respect still seems to be the best one.
Sure.
He doesn't really have... he can fly. So in this case, he's going to try and fly out of the way with a D6. Crime, tech, and science don't really seem to help him when you're just barreling straight at him. But he's going to take that D12 out of the Doom Pool and add that to his roll and see if that'll save his skin.
Yep.
All right, and actually, he looks like he's in pretty good shape. He's got an 18 total on his total, and no ones there. So I'm going to spend another plot point and put that D12 back into his pool. So Iron Man has like 4 points now.
From one to four.
Yeah.
Hey.
And so people listening can see that the plot point economy moves back and forth really quickly in this game. And one of the things that's kind of interesting is that the player largely determines when they're getting the plot points. I mean, the dice on some level do it, and when the GM is doing things, it kind of results in plot points. But like when the players decide to use a distinction, they can really kind of, like, if they need a plot point, they can always get one. So they can use a distinction as a D4 at any time they want to. But you can see that there's a give and take that's going on here. All right, you got to go, Iron Man, so you get to choose who goes next.
I think I probably smash in a very unflattering manner into the far wall.
Actually, leaving a sonic boom through the room.
Well, that was less than glorious. But you know what? I want to save Luke to go last so that he picks who goes first next turn. So I think I'm going to say Tombstone goes next.
Tombstone goes next. Okay. Tombstone is like cursing that nobody can lay their hands on Spider-Man here.
This is a shock to him, maybe?
He turns and he glowers at Luke Cage, and what he's actually going to do is he stops for a minute and just scowls at you. Actually, let me double check his character sheet here real quick, because I had a thought. And I think what he's going to do is try a different tactic, because all of this fighting and bashing people around, yeah, he gives you a smirk and starts strolling towards you, and he goes, you know, smart man would walk away at this point, especially a smart man with a girlfriend who's just about to have a baby.
Ooh. Oh, no, he didn't.
I'm afraid he did.
Okay.
And he's like, you don't want to get mixed up in this, Luke. Trust me. And or Mr. Cage. And he's going to use his, in this case, he's kind of in charge here, but I'm going to say he's kind of acting on his own. He's kind of walking away from the fight and walking towards Cage to try and single the two of you out. So he is on a D8 for that.
Okay, so can I oppose him as a solo as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Now he is going to use his brutal enforcer here for a D8. And let's see, none of his mutagenic might really fits into here. So he's not actually trying to intimidate you with his physical powers here. He's trying to threaten your child. So in this case, he's going to use Menace Master for D10. And then I'm going to add D12 into the pool and a D6 from the Doom pool into this roll. So he is going to roll a total here. And I roll one opportunity.
Okay.
And otherwise, let's see.
What can we do, those of us with points, what can we do to use that opportunity?
Those of you who have a point, you can spend an opportunity, excuse me, to either switch off a limit if one of your powers has been switched off,
right?
Or you can actually use it to create a stunt. Let's see, I'm trying to remember the fiddly bits there.
Okay.
Basically. Basically, you can spend a plot point to kind of try and take advantage of it. It's usually something. It's usually removing like a limit that you've turned on, like a power that's shut down. Which in your case, nobody's had that happen yet so far.
He's soloing with Luke anyway, so
yeah,
I
yeah. So my totals here. I'm actually going to spend another die from the Doom Pool to add three of my dice together instead of two. And he's going to have his total be an 18, and his die code is going to be a D12. And this is going to be emotional stress.
Yeah, okay. Well, how to oppose this? Okay. I'm solo, so I've got a D8.
What he rolls. I mean, he may just, you know.
Oh,
he rolled.
He rolled. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. What did he get?
He spent a die from the Doom Pool to add one more die to for his effect, so he's got an 18 total.
Yikes.
He did roll one opportunity, but he's got an 18 total and a D12 for his effect.
Yeah. Okay, so I've got D8 for solo. I think Street Smart comes into this. I think he's a punk. So, none of my power sets work on this. I do have Menace Master. So,
maybe the thing to do with Menace Master is to use it as multiple dice and then spend plot points to add multiple dice into your roll.
That's a thought. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I can split the master to 2d8 or 3d6.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to split it down to 2d8.
Okay.
So, here. Yeah, and I've still got 2 points to hang on to, so I may be able to get it all into play. if I don't roll more ones. All right, so that's 48. I'm just... Okay, let's see here. And no, even if I were to total them, even if I were to use all four dice, I'm nowhere close.
Okay. Did you roll any ones?
No ones.
Okay.
Two twos, a three, and a four.
Okay.
So...
All right. So you have taken D12 emotional stress.
Yep.
Okay. You're on the verge of quitting this fight. You're like, oh... Man, I can't let anything bad happen to Jessica and the kid.
Yep.
All right, but he actually hasn't kicked you out of the fight yet. But
right.
he's hits you with a lot of stress. All right, that was Tombstone's action. Let's see. And at this point, I'm going to.
It's got
to
be Luke. He's the other person that hasn't gone.
Yep.
Yep.
I'm going to turn the Spider-Man action figure over to Luke. It's your turn to go. Sorry, it's your turn to go.
I'm looking here. Well, that certainly made me angry. I'm just going to haul off and wail on him. And if I'm still solo, that's a D8. You got to go through me to get to her. So... Let's come and get some superhuman strength. And combat expert. And I'm going to throw a push die. So I'm burning one of my two remaining plot points. And I'm just going to haul off and try and hit him as hard as I can. And that was, let's see. No ones. I'm going to burn my last plot point to put another die in here to get my total up to 12 and a D10 of effect.
Okay, 12 total and a D10 of effect. All right. Now, Tombstone is also working on a solo, so he's doing a D10. All right, checking my recording, I got up to the point where I was saying that I had to... pay the two plot points to Luke to put those dice back in the Doom Pool. So I think Luke still has two.
Okay.
Okay.
So Luke, did you hit that guy or did you hit him or not?
We hadn't determined yet.
Ah.
Yeah. Luke had rolled, and yep. I have not rolled the reaction yet.
Okay.
He rolled. What was it? A
12 with a D10 effect. And remember to put the D12 stress into your reaction.
Right, right. So he gets to add that D12 for stress. And he's actually going to start off with... Tombstone's a pretty nasty character, actually. Tombstone gets a D8 for solo. He gets a D8 for being a... brutal enforcer. He's going to be using his superhuman durability of 10, and then his combat master of 10. So he's got a good fistful of dice here to roll, even without spending any special abilities here. Okay. So I roll. I don't get any ones. I'm going to pull, let's see, a 6 and a 7 to make 13.
Okay.
Beats your 12 and avoids damage. So he is unscathed.
Now, on a reaction check, what does it matter about the size of the die? I mean, the effect die. I mean, is there anything to stop you from adding as many of your, like, spending power points or Doom Pool dice to add your entire roll up for one big total? And then just taking a die 4 as your effect die because it's a reaction, so your effect die doesn't matter?
Well, here's the thing. If the reaction total is... let's see. If the reaction total is lower than your... If the reaction total is higher If you Here we go. Here's some good points for people at home listening in. If the reaction total is equal to or lower than your action succeeds, you can use your effect die to create an effect. If the reaction effect die is larger than yours, you have to step back your effect die by one. So if for example, even if he rolled lower than you, he could still use a higher effect die to reduce yours. I haven't been doing that, so I should be doing that.
So Luke didn't get as high of an effect total.
Mm-hmm.
But so Tombstone beat him, but that means that he uses his effect die, Tombstone's effect die,
mm-hmm.
to reduce the level of Luke's attack, and Luke still gets to do some damage.
If he did it that way, yeah. But your action still has to beat his action to succeed. So in this case, his reaction, if your action fails, your opponent may spend a plot point or a D6 from the Doom Pool to create an effect. So I could give you a plot point and then do damage in exchange.
I see.
So in this case, let's see. I'm not going to do it this round, but I'll try and find a good example of doing that next round. But I can actually spend a plot point as the Watcher and do an effect on you in addition to the fact that you failed against me or whatever.
Like clock you back and do physical stress to you.
Yep. Or leer at you menacingly and bump up your emotional stress,
which would stress him out and put him out of the fight.
Yep. So.
Okay.
All right. So that's how that works. And thanks for bringing that up, because
yep.
I knew I was forgetting something.
I'm just trying to figure out why you would care about your effect die on a reaction. And that's why.
It's a good answer. It's a good question. The reaction total, again, if and it's basically all about whether the action succeeds or not. But yep. Even if the action succeeds, if my die, if my reaction effect die is larger than yours, then you step back your effect die. So I could have a really low total, but I could still put like a D12 out there to lower your effect die.
Yep.
Okay.
So it would help keep me. But then again, you know, if somebody's already got a D12 stress, then it doesn't matter if they get a D4 or higher, they're still going to be stressed out.
Yep.
Right.
All right. So, that was Sweet Christmas's turn.
Mm-hmm.
who's up next? That's up to you, Luke.
I'm going to say Spider-Man.
Okay. Well, gosh, threatening women and children, that's just no way to be. So I'm going to try...
Have you got tons of points?
I have two.
It might be worth trying to attack multiple targets.
Well, what I was thinking of doing... What I was thinking of doing was trying something very Spider-Man-y.
Yep.
And I was going to try to wire Electro to zap Tombstone.
Excellent.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to put a web line on Electro. I think this will take me like two turns, but...
No, not really. I mean, you're trying to create a complication here. What are you trying to do?
I'm trying to like web Electro's hands together... And then connect, and then wrap that around Tombstone.
Hmm.
Maybe you could, like, when he tries to electrocute you, you could just grab his hand with your webbing and jerk it, so he hits Tombstone instead.
That would be like if he did an attack on you, and you did a and your reaction was higher, you could spend like a plot point to bring your effect die into play, maybe.
Uh-huh.
And that might be a good way to do that.
Okay, well, I will do that when Electro tries to zap me. So I'm going to make sure that Electro tries to zap me by punching him in the face again.
Okay. There you go.
All right. That.
You're going to die 8 for his stress.
Right. Let me grab that. Okay, let's see. All right, there's a 1 on a D8 you can grab or not. And I will... get a 13 total and a D8 on the effect.
Okay, so you got a 1. I'm going to give you a plot point, and Kai. I'm going to add... Actually, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to step up one of these other D6s to a D8. So now I have 3D6, 1D8, and 1D12 in the Doom Pool. Alright. Now, you are basically at just punching him in the face, so that's a 13 to hit. Where's my Electro? Come here, Electro. Okay. He is going to... Alright. He is trying to team up with these thugs again. He's like, hold him down, you fools! I just need one good shot! And,
ever got that.
He's going to have a D10 for his team. He's going to use a D8 for his I Don't Get No Respect. And in this case, he is not going to have anything to really add past that. So I am going to borrow a D6 from the Doom Pool. And... let's see. Actually, he's going to use his flight to try and fly up out of your reach, so he's going to add a d6 for that. So I've got 2d6 and 1d10 and 1d8 here that he's rolling. Electro, for all his power, doesn't get to roll many dice default, unless he's attacking, in which case he does get to lay on some damage here. Ow! Okay, rolled well on that one. In this case... You're attacking with a punch, and you had a 13 total. He is going to... he's got 16 on his dice. And I'm going to spend a D6 out of the Doom Pool, and I am going to do D8 stress. He actually manages to... As you go swinging at him, he manages to, like, grab your hand and send a jolt of electricity into you. So you take D8 physical stress from that.
Zoinks!
Yeah, when reactions can do damage, it doubles the pace of combat.
Yeah. So, Spider-Man. That was a D8. And that was something that I was kind of overlooking, because it was something that I'm not used to. I'm used to a more one-sided style of combat, so it's something I have to get used to with this game.
Well, it's also a way to ignore... You can bypass defenses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my armor, superhuman durability and all that stuff, you would completely bypass that if I make a crappy attack roll, you defend well, and then spend a point and do stress to me.
Yep. All right, so that was Spider-Man's action. Spider-Man, you get to choose who goes next.
Well, since I was trying to tee up Electro, I will say he goes next.
Okay. Electro is going to go next, and he managed to zap you, and he says, "That's right! That's right, you fool! On your knees!" And
you know,
he charges
you
up.
You sound like that guy from Mega... You sound like Megavolt from Darkwing Duck when you talk like that.
All right, he throws a huge blast of electricity. Shut up!
And, see, you did it again.
All right, he's got his team die of D10. He's got don't get no respect to D8. He's going to hit you with... I pulled two dice out of the Doom Pool. Did I give you the plot points for putting them back in?
No, you can do that right now.
So, let's see. What did I pull out? I pulled two D6s. I'm actually good. I'm going to leave those in there, so you don't need those plot points. So he's got, let's see, D10, D8, electric blast of D12, and let's see, you actually already have D8 stress, so he gets to add that in there. Let's see. And he is going to use his Unleashed. And he is going to step up, or actually he's going to double his electric blast. So he's going to roll 2d12 this time. He's fairly irked at you. And if this action fails, he has to step back his power by one die for the rest of the combat, or activate an opportunity to recover it. So he's pulsing with energy, and like the lights in the room flicker and start shorting out, and he throws a massive energy blast at you. So he rolls his action first, and he gets one opportunity for you.
I'll buy it.
And 16 as his total. Actually, you know what? 15 as his total. And a D12 for his effect.
Okay. Yikes. So I will team for D6, great power for D8.
Okay, you're actually in a duo with me because Luke is still solo.
That's true. And I'm better at that. So I'm
Marvel team up, anybody?
Yes. And I'm going to spend one of my plot points to pull in more spider powers and web slinging and acrobatic master and his D8 and D6, another D6 just because I want to... No, I'm not going to throw that other D6.
Just save one point to pull his arm over.
Right. There we go. Okay, what was his total?
His total's a 15.
Oh, I'm sorry, Max. All right. I got a 16, and I've got, let's see, I've got 3d10, a d8, and a d6 that I want to make Tombstone's life miserable with.
Okay. So you're actually spending more than one point to create a flaw, or actually a complication for Tombstone.
I think what we want to try and do is use Electro's damage die against Tombstone.
Yeah, so, well, in this case, I think what it's going to be is it's going to be your effect die against Tombstone.
Right.
And I'm just going to put it on there. So basically, and this may be fudging it, but I don't care. I'm the GM. I can do that. So what was your... How many effect dice are you trying to create here?
Well, I've only... I've got a big old fistful of them, but I only have one plot point left.
Okay, so you can make one... so you can push one of your effect dice to either create a complication for... usually for Electro, but in this case... I'm gonna let you point it at the other character, Tombstone. So what's your effect die that you're trying to use?
I've got 2d10 that I can use as effect die.
Well, you want to use
after I spend my last plot point.
Yeah, so you want to use one of those.
Okay, so I will just use one of them.
Yep, it'll be a d10, unless you have enough to spend both of them. It's one point per extra die.
Right, well, I have two. I have this will shut me out, but I don't like what Tombstone did on many levels. So I'm going to throw a D10 on each of them.
How many plot points are you spending? You're spending two or three on this. So two. So you can put two plot points, and then that would allow you to add two additional effect. It would allow you to use one effect die as a reaction.
Right.
And then the other plot point would be to add a second effect die. So you'd be able to do two effect dice.
Yeah, or a second target. He could use that to affect the second target.
Yeah, so actually this could affect... One could affect Electro, and one could affect Tombstone.
Okay. Yes.
That's what you were saying. I misunderstood. I thought you meant one for each of his stress tracks.
Right. No, that would be cool, but no.
Not in this case. All right, so in this case, you're basically... You're short-circuiting Electro, and you're actually going to cause damage to Tombstone as well. So,
yes.
We're going to call that... So you D10 for each of them? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to say that in this case, Electro is at a D8, so that bumps him up to a D10. And he's now at a D10 physical. And Tombstone... I'm going to say physical... D10. I wonder how Jack would adjudicate that, but I'll talk to him about that later. All right, so we've got Spidey pulled off one of his cool Spidey stunts there, and Electro shrieks, "No!
Yes!"
All right, so that's the end of Electro's action. So it's my turn to choose who goes next. And in this case, let's see, Iron Man hasn't gone yet this round, has he?
Nope.
And then Tombstone has, and the Mooks have not yet. So right. The Mooks, let's see. I'm going to say that it's Iron Man's turn.
Okay. Well, Iron Man flies back up in the middle of the room and says... Cage, you got to get over this one-man attitude. You and your wife are Avengers, and you're all part of us now. So I'm going to go back into team mode.
Okay.
And I'm going to hit Tombstone with the Unibeam.
Okay.
So, designed to blast him to smithereens before he makes Luke run home like a girl.
Run home to my baby girl.
Use my Unibeam special effect. It allows me to step up or double repulsors on my next roll, or spend a power point to do both. So I spend a power point.
Okay.
So I will both step up and double my repulsors. Then I'm going to use... So that gives me two die tens. Then... I'll get enhanced reflexes to zero in on Tombstone. And my team die. Hold on. Dice are flying all over. my team die. And then Tombstone doesn't have any...
He's got 10.
He's got a die 10 stress.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm rolling. Oh, and I forgot my distinction. So in this case, I'm using cutting edge tech for the Unibeam.
All right.
And let's see if I can get something decent out of this.
Sounds now, like you got enough dice.
After using the Unibeam, I will shut down my repulsor's power.
Okay.
All right. Let's see how we can do. No ones.
Ooh. That's a good sign.
Let's see. I have got, I've got a 12, but I got plenty of power points to spend. So I'll spend another power point to add another 3, which gets me to 15. And then another power point to add another couple. So I get to 17. With a die 10 effect die for the Unibeam on Tombstone.
Okay.
I have one power point left.
All right. One plot point left.
Yeah.
Okay. So that means it's time for his reaction roll. Tombstone gets slammed by the power of, like, your repulsors and your unibeam.
It's the unibeam, yeah. That's the center beam.
And he is going to, let's see, he is still in solo mode, so that's a D8 there. And he is relentless, which is another D8. Where's my D8? There's a D8. And then he has superhuman durability.
Sure.
Which is a D10. Now, he could spend a D6 from the Doom Pool to ignore physical stress caused by physical trauma, unless it's caused by energy-based attacks. So he's kind of at a loss there.
Yep.
So instead, I'll add his 10 combat master in there. So he's got 2d10 and 2d8 that he is rolling against this. Oops, got to roll that one over. And that, no ones. What was your total?
17.
17. Cannot beat that. All right,
so I do a die 10 stress. All
right. He takes a die 10 physical stress. So he bumps up.
Shut down.
So actually, he was out of physical stress before, so he is now bumped up to a D12.
Okay.
And so he gets slammed by your energy blast and is sent skittering across the floor and slams into a wall on the other side of the room and stands up and he's like, "This is a new Armani jacket." He tosses it smoldering to the ground. He's like, "You're gonna pay for that, Stark.
You can bill me."
All right, Tony, who goes next?
All that's left is the mob, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, mob.
The mob rules. The mob is going to attack.
Actually, Luke hasn't... I don't think Luke's gone this round, has he? Yeah, I did. I missed. I remember now. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's where the Spider-Man figurine would help. Trying to remember who went.
Was that? Did somebody not go?
No, we thought Luke hadn't gone, but he remembered we did.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I think he went
first. So let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5 for the crowd, and they're going to use a D8 for the grab because they're still operating under the assumption that if they just pin Spider-Man, they've done their job. So they just kind of swarm at Spider-Man now. And one opportunity for you, Spider-Man.
Oh, I don't have any plot points to buy it with, so.
Okay. Total of 11 and a D6 and a D6 for effect.
All right.
And they are not trying to do stress. They are trying to create a grappled complication for you.
I'm going to take that opportunity, spend a die 8, and recover my repulsors.
Okay.
Spend a die 6, I'm sorry. I said a die 8. I mean a plot point. I'm using
there
plot
you go.
Points. Nice. My mistake. I'm sorry. I'm confusing the audience. I'm going to spend a plot point, take that opportunity that you rolled on the mobsters, and reactivate my repulsors.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I used a D. I should have said this out loud, but I was using a D4 on my distinction so I could get a plot point, and I rolled a 1 with it.
Okay, so you get a plot point for the D8, and I'm going to seize that opportunity. And I'm actually, where's my Doom Pool? I am going to step up one of the dice in the Doom Pool. I'm going to step up that D8 that's in there to a D10.
Okay.
All right. So that
I will spend one of the 2 I just got, so that now my defense is 16, and I mock them.
You are going to mock them. All right. So your total is a what this round?
I got a 16.
16, and it's a D8 for emotional stress? Is that what you
said? Oh, no. I wasn't trying to inflict stress. I was just, you know, haha, you lose.
Oh, okay, that's right. You are you're reacting here. So it's a 16, so you managed to jump out of the crowd again, bouncy, 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 and make fun of them.
Does Spidey have to spend a plot point to do damage now with his reaction, or does that happen on
Matt? He could spend a plot point, and actually, wait, no, let me double check that, because we just talked about that, and I've already forgotten. If the reaction effect die is larger than yours, you have to... if your action fails, you may spend a plot point if a player or a D6 from the Doom Pool. So yeah, he has to spend a plot point to create an effect.
I see.
That's all right. I've just got the one, and I'm going to hang on to it.
Okay.
Okay. You only have one plot point left?
Yes.
Okay. My bookkeeping is slipping. I had something else. All right, so that was... the mob's turn, which means it's up to me, and I think this is the end of the turn.
Yep.
Yes.
So I get to choose who goes first next round, and I'm gonna put let's put Sweet Christmas. Luke, you're going first.
Okay. Totally metagame wise, I know that anything that I hit Tombstone with, you can simply shrug off.
Yeah.
Because I can only do physical. So I'm going to leap across the room and try and punch Electro into unconsciousness.
Okay. Just as a caveat, I do have to spend a die from the Doom Pool to do that. It's not automatic.
I understand, okay. But...
There's a cost to it, that's all.
Yes, there is, but you've got a fair amount of dice in there right now.
Actually, right now I am down to 1d6, 1d10, and 1d12.
And you could, like, you know, try to intimidate him back.
If you hit, you should stick with your plan. If you hit Electro, he's going down.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's what I'm thinking. So I jump over, so I'm by my buddy Spider-Man. And I will use...
My buddy...
My super strength, my come get some, my combat master. I will push a die. And what's his stress at the moment?
Let's see. Electro is at a D10 physical.
Okay. I don't know if I can put him down, but... Oh, that's a good roll. I have no ones.
That's always a good sign.
And let's see here. I'm gonna build a 16 and a D10 for effect.
16 and a D10 for effect. Okay.
Do you have a...
Actually, I've got another die.
Could you add it on to the effect so that you do effect?
You can, but you cannot add it to the effect. Yeah, I mean, it can't be the same stress track. He could do something different with the second effect die. So he could have one effect that was physical and one effect that was emotional or mental, or he could use it to create a complication of some kind.
Yep.
Hmm.
Like if he was grabbing, you know, a piece of rebar and using it to wrap around Electro's hands or something.
Don't want to necessarily do that because he can travel through. I know enough to know he can travel through conductive materials.
Wait a minute, aren't we in a sewer?
We're in a basement now.
Well, we were in a sewer, so the sewer must be accessible.
Yeah.
I mean, throw him in the water.
Better yet, is there something on here that as I hit him, I could ground him?
Excuse me.
Like a puddle or something?
Let's see.
I can spend a plot point for that.
Yeah. So let's see, what would grounding do for him? I'm trying to remember. So basically what you're trying to do is knock him into any of the support metal of the building should be grounded. So, if my construction knowledge is, if I remember correctly.
The Watcher.
What's that?
You're the Watcher.
Yep. So any metal in the building that's part of the superstructure, I believe, should be grounded. Somebody with more construction knowledge can catch me on that if it's not true. So you could just knock him into that, and that would be, let's see, would that be worth an actual plot point, or would that just be, I'm going to call that a, where's my electro here? He's got grounded, step up, or add to the doom pool versus grounding or electricity dampening attack. Spend a d6 from the doom pool to recover the power set. Okay, okay, so what you're trying to do is basically do physical damage, stress to him, and then do a basically force him to be grounded, and we'll call that grounding the D. That'll be a complication that you're adding on there as a second effect.
Okay, so a D10.
Yep, so a D10 for that. So
okay.
You've got a 16 total, and then a D10 and a D10?
Right.
Okay. In which case, he needs to roll a resistance to that. He's got his solo. Don't get no respect. And in this case, I think that's it for him. So he's actually kind of at a disadvantage here. Let's see. Solo of D8. I'm going to... Excuse me. Sorry about that. We'll try and edit that out in post. D8. Actually, D10 and D8. And he is rolling that against your attack. And what? Oh, man. Rolled an 18. So he actually does not get hit. Let's see. Now, wait. I'm trying to remember now. Do you actually add those plot points in before? Because I'm trying to think if you add the second effect in, would that be before or after he rolls his resistance check? Because I don't necessarily want to cheat you of having to spend that plot point. I think it's before. Though I think if you want to add a second effect, you do kind of have to do it. Let's see.
Yeah, I would think you have to commit the points.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. So, sorry about that, but he rolled really well on his total. He got an 18, so he does not get damaged or grounded.
Ah, well.
Ah, well. But in this case, you know, he was only going to be resisting with a D4. But lucky him, he managed to avoid it. So, you get to pick who goes next.
Spider-Man.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to knock this clown down.
We've got them both. They both have a ton of stress. We just have to
come
over.
Right. All right, team.
Yeah, Tombstone's teetering on the edge there.
Tombstone's at die 12?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he can...
And he's got the physical resistance, yeah.
Right.
Hit Electro.
Yeah. Okay. I got I got a 1 on a D8.
Okay, what are you trying to
do? I'm sorry, I'm gonna punch him.
Another clobbering blow.
Yes.
Okay.
It is, in fact, clobbering time.
Yes.
I got a 12.
Somewhere Ben Grimm sneezes. Someone talking about me. actually, I got to go with my Yancey Street talk. Is someone talking about me? What's going on?
All right. His total is 12. His effect die is a D10.
Effect die is a D10.
Oh, wait. I forgot to include his stress. What's his physical stress?
We're talking about Electro D10.
Yeah, let me grab that. No, that's no help. Okay.
Is it a 1?
No, it's a 2.
Okay. Well, it could.
So yes, it's still 12 and 13. 12 and a D10.
Okay, so it's a 12 total and a D10. All right, and this is versus Electro, who is again rolling these two dice.
And you have an you can grab the one I rolled if you want.
Actually, yes. I'm spending a plot point on that, and I am going to... so you have two now, I think. And
yes.
I'm going to upgrade my D10 to a D12. And I'm going to roll his resistance check, throwing a D6 in there from the Doom Pool. And I get an 18. So he manages to stumble back without getting hit. And he's like, curse you, curse you, curse you, I'm sick of this. And at which point the Game Master is going to spend 2d12 out of the Doom Pool to end the scene. And we're going to pull the curtain here now. And at this point, since you guys were kind of ahead, I'm gonna kind of, well, let's see. I don't know. Electro and Tombstone were still standing. It was kind of even, so I'm gonna say that.
No stress.
What's that?
I am unstressed.
You are unstressed. Yes, Iron Man has not been stressed at all.
No one's to attack me.
Because you flew out of the room.
Too busy smashing myself into a wall.
Yeah. Actually, what's going to happen is Electro runs over to one of the kids that's in the group, and he grabs him by the hand, and he says, "Enough!" And the kid like lurches up and snaps with power as like electricity courses through him. And at first you think that Electro is electrocuting the kid, but then you suddenly realize that Electro is like now blazing with power, like he's drawing power from this kid. And Tombstones yells at him, and he says, "What do you think you're doing?" And Electro's like, "I'm just going to borrow him for a second." And he raises his hand up into the air, and a huge blast of electricity flows through the room and drops each of you guys to the floor. You're all unconscious. And we're gonna pull the curtain there.
Okay. Well, thanks for running, James. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, hope cool. You guys like that. Thank you guys for stopping by. I think Jason has to run here, but I apologize for any interruptions in the podcast. We had a couple of drops, so I'm going to have to stitch together. So hopefully this will go up tomorrow or tomorrow night. But thanks again for everybody for joining in.
Oh.
Thanks for listening.
My pleasure.
Everybody, I do want to say that I really like the way the Doom Pool works. I'm still getting used to the give and take of double-sided combat, being able to do reactions that do damage, something I need to take advantage of more often. But if you guys... Jason, if you wanted to sign out, you can go ahead. If you two guys...
Cool.
Okay. Well, in that case, did you guys want to make any comments about the system? About let's start with Jason. What observations do you have after playing it once?
Well, what I like about it is, a lot of games that involve a PowerPoint economy of some kind, and there's a lot of games that do. This game makes it very clear how you, the player, can get your own PowerPoints.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big challenges with point economy games is that you can have a stingy narrator who's afraid to give out points.
Yes.
Or maybe they just don't think about it.
Right.
But now the players don't have to worry about that because they have all kinds of ways that they can get points on their own. And I also, I like the initiative rules, and I like a lot of the flexibility of storytelling. It seemed to me like the play balance isn't really a factor. And the reason why is because everybody's kind of the same. I mean... Everyone's using either a die 8 or a die 10 most of the time. And so, I mean, even Thor's got a die 12 and Spider's got a die 8. I mean, you can beat a die 12 with a die 8. He's bad.
Yeah, yep. It's a little bit more about your creativity and trying to apply your, as many of your traits as you can and distinctions and whatnot. And also learning when to set up a another character by creating a trait that they can then add to their dice pool.
Yeah, Yeah.
Okay. Rick, what are your comments on it?
I liked it. I like the way that there's like Jason said, the economy of, okay, this is how the GM has a set of resources that they can use, and it's something that the players can all see, and it's not just something that's hidden behind a screen.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that was kind of an interesting point of conversation when I was talking to Cam. You know, I mentioned, you know, I asked him, is there going to be a watcher screen with a big, you know, picture of the watcher on it that we could use? And because I thought that would be cool, and he's like, no, you can't have a screen in this game. We've got to roll in front of the players. And I'm like, oh, that's right. That's a big. It levels the playing field in a way. It makes the players feel a little more in control, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think it also, anything the GM does, because there's a cost to it, feels more honest. Like there's less of that GM manipulating things without paying for it, you know? He's actually got to pay dice out of the Doom Pool or pay plot points or do something to balance out anything that he manipulates.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was pretty cool. Theron?
I'm coming in here primarily as more of a simulationist, old groanyard. So this is an interesting experience here. I had a lot of trouble wrapping my brain around the rules when I was reading them, but it played out really well. I really do like the transparency of it. Because it is kind of a dice management mini game in and of itself, and being able to see the GM's cards as well as, or the Watcher's cards as well as ours, is interesting. I really like the flow of the initiative system. Mm-hmm. Having to think about, well, if I let him go first, is he going to have all of his thugs go in order, or, you know? So it creates an interesting decision making, and it was real easy to kind of envision it in terms of the comics.
Yeah. There are a couple of fiddly bits that I wasn't quite sure how to adjudicate, just because I'm still getting used to the rules and I haven't committed everything to my subconscious recall power yet. But you know, my ability to just pluck the numbers out. But for the general mechanics are pretty easy to assimilate. It's just a matter of, you know, when do I spend a die from the Doom Pool? When do I do this or that? In general, though, it's kind of cool. We didn't touch on a couple of other things that the Doom Pool can be used for. A lot of times when you're using the Doom Pool as sort of like a general resistance for the player characters trying to do something, like if the players are trying to do something and they're not being directly opposed by another character, they're opposed by the Doom Pool.
Yeah.
And now, of course, not everything. Like if you're trying to mail a letter, you don't have to go against the Doom Pool. But if you're trying to like lift some rubble that is collapsed on top of somebody or trying to push it off of them, you would use the Doom Pool as your opposing factor. And that means that, you know, if the GM has been or the Watcher has been accumulating a lot of dice, then it becomes very difficult to do that task. So it becomes kind of a game as far as, you know, that is concerned. The Doom Pool becomes an interesting dynamic because it basically means that usually later on in the game, depending on how often the GM is spending those dice, but later on in the game, he's going to have a lot more dice to resist your actions with. And I kind of burned myself out on dice and left myself with none in the Doom Pool, which generally means I only start with two on the next round. So I would have a very small Doom Pool the way I was spending them. But, you know, I kind of knew this was going to be a two-scene show, so I wasn't holding back. You know, another tactic I could have used was to acquire a lot more dice instead of raising the value of the dice that I had and just spending them more often. But there's a couple of different ways you can do it, and that's a really nice, flexible game mechanic that the GM has access to. And it's there in front of the players. There's no cheating, there's no hiding it, there's no sneaking it up on them. But it's still something there that can be used to create tension, because they look at that doom pool and they see the dice growing, and they know that that's something they have to contend with in game. And I think that's a really cool feature there.
I think we would have been earning XP at a very fast rate by the end.
I think so.
Every time you use that die 12, we all get an experience point. And
it's true.
And you rolled that die 12 a lot.
Yep.
I know I've got lots of team player and declaring a villain an old foe stuff that I could have been racking up the experience points with.
Right.
Yeah. When I used my Unibeam to shut down my repulsors, got me an XP too.
Mm-hmm. Cool. I'll try and if we get enough positive feedback on this session, I'll try and run another session and try and tackle the idea of spending XP that time. So I'll probably start you guys off with like a certain amount of XP, and then keep track of the milestones more carefully, and then let you guys spend those XP in a transition scene to kind of show what you can do with them, because experience points in this can be used specifically to do some neat things, like to buy certain assets that you wouldn't necessarily think of as a character asset. So I think that's really cool. But that's for next time. So does anybody else have any comments they wanted to add to it? Or
no, it was good to meet both you guys.
Likewise.
Good to meet you too.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you all for joining me, and everyone for listening. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed it. Cam Banks and everybody at Margaret Weiss, thanks for making a great game. And to everyone listening, stay vigilant.
Stay vigilant.